Ezra, Nehemiah. Amen. That's Nehemiah chapter 8. All right. Let's all stand tonight. Glad you're here tonight. Praise God for you. Amen. Boy, school's in full force, isn't it? Amen. School tomorrow. Amen. I thought at least your mothers would say that. Amen. School's tomorrow. Amen. Yeah. I suppose you're busy. Good for you, sis. All right. Yeah, I heard your wife's at the school now. So school marm, brother. Don't you watch out, man. She get that ruler, I'll whack you, buddy, on your wrist. Amen. All right. Nehemiah chapter 8. And beginning at verse 6, and we're going to read down to verse 15. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Look at what the people did. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. Someone said, this is a great, some pastor said, this is a great invitation verse. You know, they praise the Lord, Amen, and Amen, and then they bowed their face to the ground and raised their hands to heaven, Amen. And Jeshua, and Benai, and Sherebiah, and Jamin, and Achbab, and Shebathiah, and Hodajai, and Manasseh, and Kelatah, and Azariah, and Josabad, and Hannah, and Peniah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And there you go. Here, these guys are preaching. And they're making them understand the law. That's a preacher's job. People to understand the Word of God. You take the Word of God, you study the Word of God, and then you get a preacher, he comes up and says, now this is what the Bible says. Now, you have the same. Amen? You got the same Bible. Same thing. But it's amazing how that God works through your pastor and gives you some information that you may not have thought of. I was listening to Brother Rudy Smith one time. He preached, and I said, where in the world did he ever get that? Man, that's good. And of course, right down the line, Bible. And so we want to be encouraged. This morning, when Pastor Commander spoke early this morning for the Sunday school, and he spoke about how that the team came together and encouraged the player, you know. And boy, what a beautiful illustration of the church, you know. And when we get down, it's always nice somebody that come along, pat you on the back, say, hey, you're doing okay. It's okay. I've been there. I've went through that stuff. By the way, I forgot to pray for Stan Martin. I want to do that right now. Heavenly Father, oh God, I pray for my friend. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring healing to him in such a way. Lord, give him the peace that passes all understanding. He feels so defeated. He feels that he just can't get back at it, Lord, with this chemo he's taken. Lord, dear God, would you just give him a blessing and encourage him tonight? Lord, bless that man who's out of the pulpit. Lord, it's a strange thing as a pastor not being able to preach. And Lord, he's weak, and he's a strong man, but he's weak now, Lord. And this cancer is devastating him, Lord God. So please, I beg you that you'd be with him tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levite that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day holy unto the Lord God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. Now you've got to understand, they haven't had the word of the law for years. And they found the book. And everybody came out, and the Bible said they built a pulpit. That was a platform. Built a pulpit. This really is not a pulpit. This is the pulpit I'm standing on. They built a high place so they could look down to preach to them. And they found the book. And so everybody stood and listened to the Word of God. And so now, after they heard the Word of God, and after they heard what God had intended man to do and to live for God, then they start what? Weeping. They're under conviction. Good night. We've not done that. Fathers were saying to themselves, good night. I haven't raised my children right. Wives have said, I haven't been living right. towards my husband. Families are saying, you know, we ought to get this thing straightened out. And so that's what's happening here. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, and neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Boy, I'll tell you what, I love it. You know, if you go to the foreign countries, and they worship a lot of gods. I'm thinking right now of Nepal. Boy, it's a pitiful thing to go to see them worship and bloodlet and all kinds of unbelievable stuff. And they're not happy about it. And God says, let me tell you about Christianity. It's a good religion. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's not that one that starved people. You go over in the hot dot villages of Africa today, and they'll take the best chicken they got, and they'll kill it and put it out there, and hope that God will come and take it. And of course, it's a leopard or whatever comes and take it, you know. And they go without eating. Over in Nepal, you remember how hungry those dear people are, and all those cows. Well, they won't touch them because they're holy cows. They won't touch them. And what a sad thing. But God, that's not the way God is. God said, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to go your way. I want to eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them of whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites still all the people saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and send portions and make great mirth, because they had understood the word that was declared unto them. I'm going to pull over Park one more time. All of us had trouble. I don't care who you are, you're going to have some trouble. Who ever knew that Stan Martin, who power presses over 400 to 500, 600 pounds, most powerful man I know, next to, what's his name down in Tennessee, the preacher down there in Tennessee, I've never seen anything like it. Who would have known 6 months ago that today that he'd be in a hospital taking chemo? Who would know 6 years ago that we had come home from a big fishing trip down in southern the Baja and come back and my wife would be in the hospital in intensive care? Who would ever known that Mrs. Rudy Smith, 20 years ago, a beautiful, wonderful, beautiful lady, would have such a catastrophe in her life? Who would ever known that Brother Rudy would have to suffer those things going through that crazy stuff? Who would ever know that some of our, you know, I was in Ketchikan, and they had a lot of Tlingit Indians up there. Well, our wonderful little Veronica is part Tlingit Indian, and they've got cousins all over the place. I mean, it's the coolest thing, all round faces, cute little black hair, you know. And there's kids that look like them, all right? And who would have known that they were so excited they were going to have twins? And a little baby girl died. Who would have known that stuff? Who would know that people get sick? And who know that Linda, brilliant husband, Linda Rance, brilliant husband, got Alzheimer's. He was a professor in college, brilliant man. Who would ever know that he get that horrendous disease? We don't know. We don't understand that. God wants us to understand that we ought to enjoy life. And we ought to understand the Word of God. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And my purpose in this world is to glorify myself. Here's where I get in trouble. I'm going to tell you. Here's where I get in trouble. I start feeling sorry for myself. And I start getting that poochy lip. And I think that it's not fair. And I see other people getting this and other people getting that, and you know. I want to tell you what my purpose is, and it changed my whole heart, is this. My purpose is to glorify my Heavenly Father. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for my rewards. I'm not here for what I can get out of life. I'm here to glorify the Heavenly Father. That will change your whole purpose in life. I don't know if you remember the Smiths that went to Barbados, took our boy Jill, and Dave left. And Rhoda was very sick in Africa, and she had to get out of there. It was just, the cleanliness was just not there. And they had to come home. And so when they came home, they were at pastor school, and they were thinking about going to Barbados. His dad, Brother Smith, who taught soul winning at Hiles Anderson, saw me and said, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" He said, "Hey, would you pray for my son? He's going to Barbados." I said, "What? He's going to Barbados?" He said, "Man, I've been over there about every year, my birthday." I said, "Good. Somebody else can go to see him, you know." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Who's his contact?" He says, "Has no contact." I said, "What do you mean he has no contact?" He said, "Well, they're just going to go on a trip and go check the place out." I said, "Just a minute." And I was one of those few guys that had cell phones back in those days. I took my cell phone out of my pocket, and I opened up my cell phone to Brother Ward. Brother Ward's a pastor over there. And I called Brother Ward right there in First Baptist Church Hammond parking lot, and I said, "Brother Ward, Brother Tony, this is Brother Shear. Up here in Great Falls, Montana." "Well, Brother Shear, how are you?" I said, "Listen," I said, "I've got a missionary kid's coming down, and can you help him?" He says, "I'll take care of him. I'll take care of him." And so they did. They went down there, and he's the one that sponsored them in the country. He's the one. It was just an amazing thing. But anyway, when they're about to leave, Rhoda started having some doubts. You all have doubts when you're supposed to leave? Or you're supposed to go someplace? You have doubts about that? And wouldn't you know, Brother Tom Williams was there. And he just happened to be walking by them. And this said a few things to him. He says, "Well, just remember, we weren't born," he said, you weren't born for Africa. You were born for God's work." That completely changed the heart, and they have been there, I don't know, 17, 20 years, and rejoicing and love the place. So we're not here because of us. You got that? We're because of Him. That'll change your whole dimension of life. That'll change your whole thing of your attitude in life. That when you realize, when situations happen to us, it doesn't surprise God, and God has a great plan. I don't understand that plan. I'm just one of those works. All things work together. I'm just one of them all things. One of those all things to work together. And so when these things happen to you, you can say, wait a minute. I got it. I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust God in this. I hope you hang on to that. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've given to us. Help us, Lord Jesus, look in the Word of God, and we trust that you will speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How would you like to have stand up all the whole service, and I'd have to sit down. Amen. But anyway, I seen some of you faltered there and went down. That's good. I'm glad. If you can stand, stand. If you can't, it's okay. I'm sorry you can't stand it. But anyway, all right. Thank you very much. I want to talk to you tonight about a mercy and merciful and loving God. In the scripture reading, I hope that you recall the very solemn and impressive prayer that Nehemiah, God's chosen people, had made. They made a public confession of their sins. They had accepted the judgment that was due because of the transgressions of their fathers. They begin with a profound adoration of God, whose supreme majesty and omnipotence in knowledge and all creation, preservation, and government of all. These people had saw what God had done of the judgment. They didn't complain about the judgment. In fact, they repented of their father's sins and asked God to do a great work in their hearts and lives. As you remember, they were very downcast. They bowed their head and raised their hands, and then all of a sudden, here came the preacher, and he said, hey, go eat the sweet. You know, eat the fat, drink the sweet. He said, send portions of those that are not prepared. This day is the holy day of the Lord. Be happy. There's so many people not happy. So many people live like atheists. I can't understand it. Oh, why? Me! I'll be honest with you. Hey, I'm cussing it myself. I'm preaching it myself, okay? I know there's some times that I just get flat out, tired. I just get to the point where I say, are you kidding me? I know you don't have those problems. I get to the point in my life and I say, no, I can't. Seems like lately I've just been bumping things over, like glasses or whatever, and spill stuff. I'm making some tuna fish, but I had some salmon. I was making some tuna fish. Not the cup. I mean, the top of my mayonnaise, not mayonnaise. Mayonnaise. Miracle Whip I don't like. But anyway, and I knocked it off. On the floor! Big old white gob of mayonnaise on the floor. That stuff's slippery, and it's a mess to clean up. How many agree with me, ladies? That's right. You guys wouldn't know about that, but these ladies don't know about that. What a mess. And then I dropped something else. I said, are you kidding me? I was in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry. Sorry. This is the way it is. But anyway, our lives are very, how many of you call yourself an idiot? You idiot? Yeah. And dumb luck. You know, I mean, just crazy stuff. In our lives, these things happen in our lives. Sometimes those things happen to us. I think all times these happen to us for a purpose. One, to slow us down. One, to be thankful that we do have mayonnaise that we can drop on the floor. Sometimes these things happen to us in our lives that we have to slow down and back off and say, wait a minute, who's in control here? I just found out that I'm not in control here. We're none of us in control. God's in control, or we'll allow Satan to control us. And when we start thinking these atheistic thoughts about that God doesn't care for me and God isn't, we aren't special to God, we've got a real problem there, because I'll tell you something, everyone is special to God. God loves you more than you'll ever have any idea. Ever. He protects us so many times that in our foolishness we do stuff and we're protected and you want to, wow, that's amazing, you know. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the mercy of God. The thing, mercy means God holds back what we deserve. Grace is God gives us something we don't deserve. But mercy, someone said, what is your favorite? I think I'm going to take mercy, okay? I'll choose mercy. I'll choose mercy. They proceed, these people, to enumerate His mercy and distinguish favor to theirs of the nation. And from the period of the call of their great ancestors and gracious promise intimated to them and divinely bestowed a name, Abraham. They were all from the Abraham seed. And in that Abraham seed, they had promises that which were implied to them from the faithful father, the ancestors of the Messiah, and the honor individual, those whose seed, all families of the earth, remember, shall be blessed. God said, because of you, Abraham, all seed will be blessed in the world. And of course, you and I know that was Jesus Christ. Tracing in full and minute details of their deliverance, they go through the Egyptian bondage, their miraculous passage over the Red Sea, which was deep and wide. And they received the law and the forbearance of God's long suffering shown amid the frequent rebellion of those people. Every time you start reading the Old Testament, it makes me so mad. Are you crazy? What are you people wrong? And then I start thinking to myself, and yeah, same thing.
Not amen, amen, but oh me, amen. Their happy settlement in the promised land was extraordinary. All the extraordinary blessings, both form and temporal prosperity, religious privileges, which his paternal goodness and favor above all other people had changed themselves in making a miserable group of people because they had gone against the principle of God. And God said, if you go against what I tell you to do, I'm going to have to punish you. Just like a good mom and daddy would do their child. Child does something wrong, and it is your responsibility to punish them. It's your responsibility to make sure that they understand that they must live under the rule. Now, let me say this. Now, in America today, we're having a problem with these millennials that they don't think they have rules. And they've seen a lot of people that, in history, just the last 10 years, think they can get away with anything as long as they get the money. And so now they think that they don't have to obey any rules. When a police officer says halt, that means halt. And they just keep walking. And there's rules and there's laws that say that they have to do that. And so our world is really upside down. Our children are learning some things that they hear some people do certain things. They say, well, I can get away with it too. Well, let me tell you something. What I told a judge one time, I'm gonna use corporal punishment on my child. And if you put me to jail, you're gonna put me in jail, but I'm not gonna let you deal with my son. I'm gonna deal with my own son. At least I'm gonna give him a chance that he doesn't have to be dealt with by the authorities. That's just good parenting. I will never hurt my child. I'm very careful about when I discipline my child. Never hurt him. Probably never ever leave a mark on them. Always very careful about that. But I'll guarantee you, they knew that dad meant business. And I'd say, you want to have a fight? I'm going to win. So you might as well get over it right now. You know, you're not going to treat your mama like that. You're not going to treat me like that. You're going to show respect. And when you get old enough, and you want to get out on your own and buy your own food and put your and sit on your own table and sit on your own chair and eat your own food and go right ahead. But right now, while I'm paying the bills, I'm the boss. I don't care how big you get. I'm the boss. Comprende? Understand? But we tried that since they were like 2 or 3 years old and just kept working with it, working with it, working with it, working with it. They realized the great loss of their national independence when they finally found the book and their long captivity, the severe punishment for their sins. They acknowledged that in all heavy and continued judgment upon their nation, and God had done right. That's what they said. God did right. We deserve it. Isn't it amazing that your child, when you deal with them, some kind of situation, they've done it, and they say, Dad, you're right. I'm sorry. How do you like that? Yeah, that's really nice. That's good. Yeah, I understand. Instead of the kid griping, complaining, it's not fair and all this kind of stuff, he said, Dad, I'm sorry. I did it. I'll guarantee you, that kid didn't get much of a whooping. But I'll guarantee the one that was like a lawyer and tried to work out every other thing and everything, I'll tell you what, they went around the woodshed, amen, a couple times. What these people were doing, they were throwing themselves, like America needs to do, throwing themselves on His mercy. They expressed their purpose in entering into a national covenant by which they pledged themselves dutifully to be obedient in the future. That's what America needs to do. We need to come to our knees. And we need to beg God to help us through this crazy thing. We got a lot of crazies out there. A lot of crazy. They are constantly fed this false junk from our news. They're constantly told, making things look that what they're doing and is wrong, and our country's in a mess. But I'll tell you what, there's a group of people in this country that still stands for truth and righteousness. And it's a lot more than these, well, you just say ever what you word you want to say about them, all right. Throwing themselves to His mercy, they expressed their purpose in entering in a national covenant. I like this song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can my sin erase, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of works, 'tis all of grace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and plea. It's all I got. It's all you have. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to realize in this beloved Bible that you hold in your lap tonight that you find some wonderful truths in it. There's a very interesting thing here where there's a word in the Old Testament, and it goes Kishik. And 1611 translators, King James, translated that word mercy 149 times. They use that word Kishik 149 times, and they translate it to mercy. But it also can be translated loving kindness. 40 times kindness, 30 times loving kindness, goodness 12, kindly 5, merciful 4, favor 3, goodliness, pity. That's what they use that word. Also, the word means precisely the same thing in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom he hath compassion. In the New Testament Greek, it's elhalos. And it's translated elaos in the English word mercy, kindness, which carries the idea of good will towards the miserable and the afflicted. Mercy of God towards men in general providence is the mercy of clemency of God in providing the offering to men salvation by Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing about mercy. The mercy seat of Christ, whereby he will return to judgment and will bless the true Christians with eternal life. In other words, the Greek word for mercy means kindness. Don't you like mercy? Driving down the road, not watching yourself, talking to the kids, and all of a sudden there's a guy behind you with a red and blue light on. Just click, 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 and all of a whoop. And you go, oh, man. You pull over. And he walks up and he sees all your screaming kids. And he'll probably say, I don't blame you driving fast, but you don't want to hurt them. And says, are you okay? And you say, yeah, I am, kind of. Well, what do you mean, kind of? Well, I didn't want to get a ticket. Said, you know how fast you're going? Sir, I really did not know how fast I'm going. Well, this is the 35, and you're going 45. You're 10 miles over. And he says, but today, I can see you got a lot of things on your mind. I'm just going to write, let me have your driver's license and your proof of insurance, and I'm just going to write you a, mercy. Now, some of you people out there will gripe and complain at him, and you're going to get a ticket. But they give you mercy. If you do that more than one time on the same road, I think that he'll probably put the hammer down. There's a lot of people out there that we had a sheriff a couple years ago, and he said this. He says, fellas, he says, I'm not out there to penalize people. I'm out there to get them to understand that they need to keep the law. We're not out there to give them tickets. We're out there to keep them understand and keep them safe. We're peacekeepers. And I'd rather you guys go up and have a talk with them and let them know that they have done wrong and they need to change their attitude. And he says, every once in a while, I'll park a car in certain places. To me, that's mercy. That's mercy. you go someplace and someone sees your kids and they may need some help, and they give you a little help, and they have mercy. It's a wonderful thing. Mercy is a wonderful thing. But to think and put it all together now, I've got 2 minutes to put it all together, all right? Aren't you glad? When you put it all together, if it wasn't for God's mercy, the Bible says we would be consumed. I'm glad I'm a Christian tonight. I'm glad when I'm down and feel the pressures of life, I can go to a merciful God and just say, Lord, and I just point at it. I said, Lord. Every one of you tonight, you listen to me carefully, every one of you tonight, you're going through something. You're going through something. If you haven't gone through something, you're going to go through something. When you get to the point in your life, you realize that your life is not about you. Your life is about the Lord, and your life is about bringing glory to the Heavenly Father. That'll make the whole difference in your life. Dear God, why in the world is this going on in my life? I don't think it's wrong to ask that. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He asked the question, amen. I don't think it's bad to ask. I think it's bad to ask when you're around a lot of people and you just keep asking and asking and asking and asking. And should be like that old Spice commercial. Thanks, I needed that. Somebody wakes you up a little bit. But you know, in our lives, we have these things happen in our lives. And I'll tell you, you know what happens? It makes me dig deeper in the Bible. It makes me have more faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that He is going to help me through this thing. Do you think God, He said, hey, know my will for your life. Do you think He'd say that if He didn't want to help us know it? He didn't just put it out there and just leave us. He put us there and He walks with it. He walks with it and He talks with us. We're His every day. Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. That You would just help us to be kind to our brothers and sisters. Everybody's having a problem. Everybody's having a battle. Everybody's going through crazy stuff in this whole world. Lord, we think we've got in trouble. Lord, there's folks down in Texas don't even have a place to lay their head tonight. There's people out there that don't have a place to bury their dead that just died. There's people right now that are in rooms and scared to death of that horrendous hurricane coming through. And not only that, but the tornadoes that are following it. There's people, Lord Jesus, their whole life is burned up in front of them. They had to leave. They couldn't even take their possessions out because of the fire danger. Now we sit here and we complain about the smoke. We complain about the have to water our lawn too much. Dear God, help us to be more merciful to others. Lord God, help us to be more like You. And Lord, when the troubles come, dear Lord, when the troubles come, help us to fall on our face before You and say, dear God, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.